We're currently celebrating, Baruch Hashem, the Yom Tov, the Chag of Sukkot, which of course, as we know from the davening that we do every single day, is called Zman Simchaseinu, the time of our happiness. It's a time to rejoice, to be happy, like the Pasuk says, we have a mitzvah to be happy. A question, which I think is a fair question, that could be asked is, well, what is someone supposed to do when things are not necessarily so happy? I would imagine that there's probably a lot of people amongst the Jewish people that over the course of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which, although at this point it could feel very far away, it wasn't so long ago. Yom Kippur was only about a week ago, a little bit more than that, about a week and a half ago. I would imagine that a lot of people, some of the thoughts that they were thinking over the course of the poignant prayers, the davening that we did, were thoughts about things that happened over this past year. And there were a lot of very difficult, very, very challenging events that occurred, both on the individual and the public level. And the point is that sometimes things are not so happy, and yet we have a mitzvah to be happy. To rejoice, to be happy. So a question, which again I think is a fair question, is what is one to do? What can one do to capture a feeling of rejoicing, a feeling of happiness, even when circumstances seem to be conspiring against that goal? So to answer that question, I'd like to pose another. It's interesting. Basically every single Jewish holiday that we have, every Yom Tov, celebrates a particular event that occurred in Jewish history. Pesach, of course, celebrates and commemorates and relives the Exodus from Egypt, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Shavuos, of course, the event of Matan Torah, of receiving the Torah on Har Sinai. We all stood on Mount Sinai and we heard Hashem speak to us, we got the Luchos. So that was the event of Shavuos. When you go to the Yamim Tavim, the Rabbanan ones as well, Purim celebrates the event of being saved from Haman, Hanukkah being saved from the Greeks. When you think about Sukkot, so what event? Is there a particular event that we're celebrating when it comes to Sukkot? There's a system called the Shleish Regalim, the three major festivals of the year. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Sukkot is the culmination of the set. It's the Tekufas HaShana, when the end of the previous year clasps on to the beginning of the next year, of the new year, in the continual cyclical pattern and cycle that we have. But there doesn't seem to be any particular event associated with Sukkot. What event are we celebrating? So of course we know that we sit in the Sukkah, which is a remembrance. It reminds us about the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory with which Hashem encased us during our journey through the Midbar, through the wilderness, for those 40 years. But is there a particular event? It would seem at first glance that we're not celebrating a particular event as much as a particular miracle. But if that's the case, then it's very difficult to grasp and understand because, well, why this particular miracle? I mean, there were a lot of amazing miracles. There was the miracle of the river well that followed us through the Midbar, through the wilderness. There was the Midbar of the Mon. When we got into Eretz Yisrael and had a Beis HaMikdash, there were miracles every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. The fire never got put out by the rain, the smoke never got blown by the wind, and so on and so forth. There were many, many miracles. When the Jews crossed over the Jordan River, it miraculously split, similar to the way by the splitting of the Red Sea, Kriyas Yamsuf. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, there might even be a statement in Chazal that it was even a more miraculous split when it came to the Jordan. But in any event, there were many, many miracles throughout the time period known as the biblical time period, Tanakh. So why would we particularly be celebrating this miracle? So what I would like to suggest is that there is an event per se that we are celebrating. But it was an event that happened to span 40 years, as opposed to an event that, you know, was a particular moment or an hour or a few hours on a particular day. And that event was the journey through the Midbar, through the wilderness, whilst being guarded and guided by the clouds of glory. Now that's an interesting thing to consider, because the Jewish period, the period of history in which the Jews occupied the desert, the wilderness, and traversed it, was not one of, or at least seemingly, was not one of our finer points of history. If you go through the parshiyos in the Torah that describe what was going on, there were a lot of really terrible things going on there. And there are verses in Tehillim that talk about how we angered the Almighty while we were in the desert. Of course, there was the golden calf, and there were the people that were whining and complaining all the time for this, that, and the other. And there was the controversy, the conflagration of a controversy of Korach. And of course, there was the spies, and so on and so forth. There's even an opinion that says that though that generation of people that died, that perished in the wilderness, that they will not have a portion in the world to come. So it seems like it was an awfully terrible situation. But on the other hand, there are explicit verses that say, Al pi Hashem yachnu, Al pi Hashem Yusuf, Al pi Hashem yachnu, Sishmeres Hashem shamaru, Al pi Hashem yad Moshe, that the Jewish people faithfully followed the instructions of the Almighty throughout their sojourn, and their journey, their odyssey, if you will, through the wilderness. When the cloud would move, indicating that they need to move, they would pick up and move. And when the cloud would stay put, indicating that they have to stay put, they would stay put. And there's a pasuk in Tanakh that says, Lechtech acharei zechayte lo chesed neuraich, Lechtech acharei bamidbar beretz leizrua. I remember the kindness, the graciousness of your youth when you followed me into the wilderness, a place which is not sowed with different forms of grain and etc. And we find that when the Torah recounts all of the different way stations, the places where the Jews encamped along the way, so the sages, as Rashi brings down, are busy wondering, why is the Torah doing this? What's the significance? And one of the explanations that Rashi brings from Chazal is the famous parable about the king who had to travel somewhere together with his son because his son was ill. And on their way back, the king was fondly reminiscing about all the places where they stopped along the way. Oh, here's where we got cold, and this place is where your head was hurting you, and this place that over there. So it seems as though Hashem is fondly reminiscing about all the places where we stopped and journeyed through the Midbar. But wait a minute, why would he be fondly reminiscing about a time period which seems to be awfully riddled with lousy and terrible actions on our part? So I once heard a concept, I didn't see it inside, but I trust the source. Rav Fishel Schechter said over a concept from the Chassidish Sfarim that just like the Jews in the Midbar had to go through a series of masa'is, of stations through their journey, so too every single person in his life has to go through stations. You know, it's a very reasonable concept. And what that would then mean is that the journey through the Midbar was effectively a paradigm for the journey of life. Throughout the journey of life, of course, as we all very well know through experience, there are ups and there are downs. There are smooth times and there are turbulent times. There are times of joy and times of sadness. Right? If it sounds like I'm quoting from Kohelis, well, slightly I am, which we're going to be reading in Ritz Hashem tomorrow. That's the way life is. Life is meant to be an odyssey. It's not meant just to be smooth sailing, despite what the overwhelming media message of modern Western culture would want us to think. It's not like that, as we all know. Right? And when a person is not aware of that fact, that can cause a lot of undue frustration. You know, it's difficult enough to deal with the challenges of life. We don't need to add on to that by having this unrealistic expectation that everything is supposed to be smooth sailing. So life is a rocky journey. It's an odyssey. There's ups and downs. And that's the way it was for the Jews in the Midbar. There were the high points, right? Like when they said Nasa and Ishma, and the fact that they faithfully followed Hashem no matter where He took them through that wilderness, right? The clouds are on the move. All right, we're on the move. The clouds are staying. We're staying. And there were the down points. There were serious, serious low points. And throughout it all, throughout that event, that elongated continuum event of the Odyssey, the journey from the Midbar, Hashem's presence, as it were, was with us. He never left us. He kept us safe, and He was providing us with guidance throughout it all. Which means, if we come back to the journey of life, that no matter what a person goes through in his life, even though sometimes it's hard to see it, the fact and the reality is that Hashem is always with him. This tkufa, this period, as we mentioned, is called tkufa sashana, the time when it's the close of the previous year, the beginning of the next year. It's the refresh button, if you will, of the new level of the cyclical pattern of life. We just got finished with an Elul, which is a time of Ani L'Dodi, V'Dodi Li, I'm for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. Rosh Hashanah, say before me the verses of kingship so that you make me king upon you. That's what Hashem tells us to do on Rosh Hashanah. And then the 10 days of repentance, Aseres Metshuva, Yom Kippur, it's a tremendous high. And now, right after Sukkot, what's going to happen? We're going to take off the white curtain from the Aron Kodesh. We're going to take off that beautiful white parochas, and we're going to go back into normal, basically begin the next phase, the next stage of the journey of life. So Sukkot is that time where we're phasing out of that whoa, real high of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it says, Mitzvah and Tishrei and Yerach HaYisanim, this time jam-packed with sanctity and mitzvos, and we're going to go back, so to speak, into normal life, into the journey. And it's going to be winter, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to be cold, etc. And during this time, the message that we're being sent off with, so to speak, is that even if there might be low points, and even if there might be some turbulent points, never forget that Hashem's presence is always with you. He's always there guarding you and guiding you. And that, I believe, is, I don't know if it's the secret, but certainly one of the secrets of Zman Simchaseinu, the time of our joy. Because in truth, there really is no greater source of joy than to be aware of the fact and the reality that throughout it all, no matter what, where, when, how, or why, Hashem is always with us, guarding us, and guiding us. Have a great Yontif, a great Shabbos, and a great Yontif.